Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging in there. We always look forward to our dialogue and discussion together. Let's not forget it. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Dial that telephone number and it gets you straight through to the studios, right to our microphones. We can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. By the way, I'd love to hear from you. You don't have to say who you are or what church you're in. Just call in. I want you to tell me, is your church open? How long has it been closed? Does the pastor have any idea when it's going to open? What is your church doing about the so-called social distancing, the mask mandates? By the way, don't get me started on the mask. We've dealt with that. It is the precursor to the ultimate requirement for us to be vaccinated. It's the precursor to the total COVID-19 pass that will allow us to go from business to business, et cetera, et cetera. It is desensitizing the public, we the people, to force us to agree with what the government says we ought to do. And I need to explain that a little further. For example, on the OSHA website, when it talks about the different masks and they review each of them, OSHA says that even the best of those masks that is in the populace today is like putting a chain link fence over your face to keep the bugs out. That gives you a pretty good picture of the value of the mask, and yet we're being desensitized. It's as a sheeple rather than people. You walk into a store, and you might be one or two. I don't wear a mask. Might be one or two or half a dozen that do not have a mask on. Everybody else walking around with their zombification with their mask on. But we're watching that preparation, and part of that preparation is to take away the rights and the liberties that we have in America today under our Bill of Rights. I'm concerned about that as a Christian, because if the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? Psalms 11:3 says, sin is a reproach to all people. Righteousness exalteth the nation, the scripture says, and I've reversed the statement from Proverbs 14:34, and we need to recognize that's what is taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to know, here, call the number, 831-0917. Tell me whether or not you're in church. Tell me whether or not you're faithful. As I just gave you the statistics, there's one in three practicing Christians that stopped attending church at all, according to the Barna Report, and most of them claim that it's because of COVID-19. Let me give you the rest of those statistics, and then Pastor Davis and I will be talking about that further. Barna Report says 34% say that they view worship services from a different perspective when they're viewing it online. Number three, the number of so-called practicing Christians dropped 50% since the year 2000. 36% fewer Americans today are attending church on a weekly basis. 36% less. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Take those statistical numbers. If you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 10,000 in the church, it will be a drop in the bucket. You might not notice it that much. You take your smaller churches, and by the way, the majority of the churches in America today across denominational lines are 500 or less. About 80% of those are 200 or less. So you take 20%, 30%, 50% drop. Many of those churches, according to the same Barna Report, says that many of these churches will never reopen. I believe I have a call on the line. Go over the question and the comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I was calling in about the churches.
Yes.
I've been listening to another pastor on the radio on my way to work, and he's going through the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, and it really correlates to today. I feel like we need more churches and pastors to speak out against the evil in the world like Jeremiah did. We need the president to kind of become more like King Josiah and help our nation from the evil that it's gone into. And otherwise, the American population can read the Book of Lamentations and see what will be left afterwards.
You're exactly right. We need to understand God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he is, we're going to experience what God is doing and wants to do. And he wants to use we the people, as Christians in particular, to be the salt and the light and take that stand. And so I'm in full agreement with that. Thank you so much for your call and for your insight.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Yes.
One more thing. I was reading in the book of Jeremiah this morning, and it talked about how the turtles and the birds know when their time is coming, and we don't even as people.
That's a sad commentary on humanity, especially as Christians, isn't it? It is, exactly. We need to wake up, sit up, and his old cliche, smell the coffee, and be the salt and light God's called us to be. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for your call and your comments. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. This is a pretty large article, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just reading you the excerpts from it, from the George Barna Report. It was done April and May after COVID-19 had hit America. During April and May, and it could be slightly changed since then. It says, fewer committed to Bible reading today. Those attending church also read the Bible. In other words, what the Barna Report says, Pastor Davis, if you're attending church, you're going to read the Bible. If you're not attending church, you're not going to read your Bible.
That's right.
The reason.
That's right.
But here's the thing that frightens me. 54% of those that he surveyed, and there was a massive number in the survey, 54% of those he surveyed say that as culture changes, the biblical truth becomes obsolete. Changes, the biblical truth becomes obsolete.
Yes, sir.
So, Pastor Davis, I think that is the key to what we're talking about. As we see in so many denominations today, so many of our churches today, those that want to be Christians, they've joined the church, but they've not accepted Christ. And so as a result of that, they take the stand that as the culture changes, as the rules and regulations through the governors and the mayors change, then we need to change with it. The Bible no longer holds as being solid and it's true. Respond to that statement, Brother Davis, and then we'll take our next call.
Well, can I say, Dr. Youngblood, as I have read down through the scriptures many a times in my 35 years of being in Christ, I have never seen where the word of God changed one bit. In fact, if we take a close examination of what the word of God is really designed to do, it's designed to change the individual he comes into contact with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we're supposed to analyze the word and change it to fit our situation. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
We ought to let the word change us
right.
to fit what God called us to be or chose us to be.
Well, we need the faith. And the faith, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by. The little word by is the Greek word dia. That is the access, the avenue. Faith cometh by the word of God. If you're not under the word, in the word, then you're not developing faith. And if you don't have faith, you're going to fall for anything.
Amen.
I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, brother, I came back from Georgia last night, and I was in disbelief to see how many black churches, and I'm a minority as a Hispanic, they got the signs outside the church. I thought the church was called Black Lives Matter. But it was a church. And don't get me wrong. I say, minority, we are in Christ. And when we are in Christ, we are a new creature. All things has passed away. They all become new. And I don't believe in that victim mentality inside the church. So why Jesus died for all of us? All lives matter for Jesus. But they make it like a political statement inside the churches. And I wonder, most of those ministers, they got education, they got a lot of years maybe in theology. But where's that knowledge went? Because now only one group of people, Jesus died for everyone. Chinese, white, purple, brown, black, orange. And this thing, I cannot believe that these things is inside the churches, making feel people like victims and like they are not newborn in Christ. I'm just, what's your take on that issue? Because I cannot believe this. I mean, this is crazy.
All right, I'll respond to that also. But hang on, don't hang up yet. Let's continue the dialogue and discussion. Pastor Davis, respond to that question.
Well, my thing is right there, Dr. Youngblood, and I appreciate this brother calling in with the opinion that he had about this situation. Because if I were to see that sign outside of a black church, I would not go in. I would not fellowship with them, because the number one thing we need to come to understand, red, yellow, black, white, or brown, Jesus Christ died for us all.
In fact, there's an old song that I remember in Sunday school 100 years ago, red or yellow, black or white, we're all precious in his sight.
Amen.
That's the mindset we should have.
Amen. God
doesn't see skin color. Each one of us have different pigmentation. That should not change the heart. But further, I would also say to our caller, You may or may not know this, and I'll say it for the benefit of all of our listeners. Joel Osteen, in his eminent wisdom in the Word, if I can say that sarcastically, has just announced that he is going to march with the Black Lives Matter in Texas, that he's going to take a knee with them and bow before them in total affiliation with and recognition of what they're doing. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say again, and for the benefit of our listeners, perhaps you've heard me say before, Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with pigmentation of the skin.
Amen.
It's all
Amen.
To do with an organization that is bent on destroying the foundation of America called our Constitution. In fact, Black Lives Matter has raised since April of this year about $450 million. $150 million of those dollars came from George Soros, which has a single goal, a single aim of destroying the Constitution in America and overthrowing our nation as we know it today.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
I would say, Pastor Davis, and to our caller also, we have these that simply because of pigmentation of skin, our black brothers and sisters in Christ have been deceived and deluded into believing that because the word black is in that organization, that it's talking about skin color, and it is not.
Amen.
The three women communists that started Black Lives Matter happen to be total communist, and they brag about being highly trained Marxist with the goal of overthrowing America. Their words, not mine.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
We need to understand that we need to have discernment, as we were talking earlier, discernment as to what the Word of God says, and we need to stand on the truth.
Amen.
Brother, do you have any further comments or questions? Does that answer your question or your insight?
And not only that, they are using that lie, the skin color, the pigmentation of your skin color in the Hispanic community. And I refuse to believe that because Jesus Christ died for all of us. And
Amen.
He welcomes everybody. And not only that, if that person is from, let's say, Hispanic, and that person believes in abortion, killing babies, I have to vote for him? Oh, no, I'm not, because I put God first than that person. And I had an argument with a Christian, so-called brother. He told me, I told him, hey, listen, if the election is tied and my father is the one running and he support abortion, guess what? Daddy, I love you, but my principles come before. You're going to lose because I'm not going to support even my dad if he supports abortion. But sadly, in many churches, they just go for the skin color. Nobody what they believe. If they believe in abortion, they believe in homosexual marriage, because it's the same skin color as mine, they're going to vote for them. To me, they're not teaching and training the people in the churches the biblical way, because God loves everyone, and we need to stand up for our biblical principles, because if we don't, who will? God bless you guys. Love you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling your insight.
Let me just say right here, Dr. Youngblood, for the purpose of any black listeners that we may have this morning.
All right.
We're not saying at all that what happened to the individuals in those circumstances was not important, that their lives were not important.
Absolutely.
We're not saying that.
Not.
And yeah, I mean, 9 out of 10 of them, maybe more of them, maybe all of them, may have been blacks to whom it happened.
Right.
We're not saying that their lives were not important.
Right, exactly.
But what we are saying is that don't get the outlook of the Black Lives Matter movement mixed up with the lives that were affected by whatever the situation might have taken place, and put that into thinking all into one category, into thinking that we're saying that, oh, we don't care what happened to these people. They were black and we don't care.
That's right.
Black Lives Matter is saying that it was wrong what happened to them. And now you're saying that you don't care what happened to them because, I mean, you don't agree with Black Lives Matter.
Well, we
don't agree with their outlook.
No, they're commingling two separate issues.
Amen.
If this organization called Black Lives Matter really believed that Black Lives Matter, why aren't they in Chicago stopping the black thugs from killing other black families, including 2-month-old babies, 8-month-old babies, 2-3-year-old kids, et cetera, being shot? Why don't they say something about that? Why don't they take that stand? Why don't they go in and make sure that the abortion clinics, the murder mills that's primarily in the black communities, why don't they go in and shut them down if Black Lives Matter?
Amen.
So it's, what I'm pointing out is antithetical to what is taking place. On the surface of it, it sounds like it is meant for an ethnic group of people, when, ladies and gentlemen, it is not. We're talking about the need for the church to speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen, because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential, and if it's essential, we need to understand it. But, Pastor Davis, I can add a little footnote on that statement. One of the primary things that I find that's problematic, whether it's in a white church or a black church, when there's a misunderstanding of issues and to take a stand on the wrong side. For example, I don't believe it's possible for a Christian to vote for a Democrat at all. The Democrats, in their plank of belief, they believe that it's all right to have sodomite marriages. They believe that it's all right to have the perverts and the pedophiles to go into the restrooms, the bathrooms, the locker rooms of the women, the children of our society today. They believe that it's all right to murder by way of abortion. And if anybody believes that, they are disbelieving, discounting, and dissing the Word of God.
Amen.
So it goes back to a fundamental need of training in the Word of God, to understand what the Bible says and to understand it in context and apply it in our lives today. And that's not happening, because we have so many today that I'm sure these men, whether it be white or black, love the Lord. They stand in the pulpit. They're ignorant of the Word of God. And as a result of that, they will stand, and as I call it, they'll preach by letter, open up and let her fly.
Well, let me say this, Dr. Youngblood. What I really think is happening with individuals like that, they're letting their flesh lead them.
Absolutely.
Flesh cannot run the church.
Can't do it.
We cannot let the flesh take first place in the church.
They can't do it.
The Spirit of God has got to be the one that's leading us into all truth and knowledge. If we want to do what God is saying doing, we have to be Spirit-led individuals, not our flesh, not our emotions, not our feelings. I believe I just told you about this a few weeks back. I was 50 miles out behind the paper plant doing some work down in St. Mary's about 20 years ago, and I smelled fried chicken way out in the middle of those woods. And now this is what my senses had me thinking, that I smelled fried chicken 50 miles away, and it wasn't even a restaurant nowhere close to me.
That's right.
My senses fooled me. My sense of smell mm-hmm. fooled me that I smelled fried chicken 50 miles away. Now this is what I'm saying. Don't let your senses, don't let your feelings and emotions overtake you and overshadow what you ought to be doing as a child of God. You have to be led by the Spirit in order to please God.
And it must be through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Without faith,
Amen.
It's impossible to please God, the Scripture
Amen.
Says. And faith comes from the Word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we need to understand is what we're facing today and what we've just talked about is the ultimate demonic delusion that's dividing and destroying to help tear down the church. And with what the government has done through some of our mayors and governors across America, enforcing the churches to remain closed, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that today. What I'm simply calling, we're witnessing an open, in-your-face Christian persecution and prosecution. The governor of California has decided that he's smarter than God. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just touch on it. It's from Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel, and he says the governors illegally shutting down churches and oppressing churches and places of worship are so rabid, and also rabid Planned Parenthood supporters. These same governors that are shutting down the churches, they're Planned Parenthood supporters, is what he's saying. There's increasing oppression of the churches and pastors across American states and municipalities and in municipal jurisdictions where lawlessness and the spirit of death are being championed by government officials. When lawlessness undermines the sanctity of human life and devalues religious freedom, it is inevitable that an arrogant official will attack the bastion of hope of all people, that is, our churches. That has been true for over 2,000 years now. And this newsletter from Liberty Counsel points out of the different churches that they're representing from states across America. They have hundreds of the cases. For example, in Maine, Liberty Counsel represents Calvary Chapel in Bangor, Maine. In Virginia, we represent Lighthouse Fellowship Church. In Kentucky, Liberty Counsel represents Maryville Baptist Church and the Highview Baptist Church. In Illinois, we represent Elam Romanian Pentecostal Church and Logos Baptist Ministries. In California, we represent Harvest Church and Harvest International Ministries with 162 churches affiliated with that. And it goes on to say, each of these governors of these five states share these characteristics. Number one, they encourage lawlessness. They have little regard for religious liberties and are intensely pro-abortion and pro-Planned Parenthood. That's a good indication as to why they're taking those stands. In fact, he closes his statement by saying, pro-death culture will always try to restrict the Christian church's inalienable rights to exercise freedom of religion. And here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, that we ought to recognize as to what's happening. Again, from Matt Staver, says the California prayer ministry has received a cease and desist letter from Governor Gavin Newsom, first banned singing and chanting and banning all worship. Even in private homes, the church has the right to worship as it pleases without the vicious attacks from government. And he goes on to talk about what happened, and he touches on, and this is one, Pastor Davis, that I find that he is so on target. He says, remember when King Darius ordered 30-day ban on worshiping God, Daniel 6, verses 1 through 10. When Daniel knew the decree was signed, he went to his house, opened his windows, and prayed, as he had always done.
Amen.
John MacArthur recently stated correctly that Caesar is not over our churches in America.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you, trying to challenge us with this thought, that we as Christians, we're the salt and the light. We should remain open in our churches. If your church is closed, ask your pastor, when does he intend to open it? Ask him what is going to happen that's so going to magically allow him to open his church. Will the Wuhan China virus disappear? No. It's going to be on the scene, Pastor Davis, at least until after the November election.
For quite some time. Amen.
After the November election, we probably won't hear anything about social distancing. We won't hear anything about the Wuhan China virus. We won't hear anything about the post office not having enough money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of this is going to dissipate between November the 3rd and January the 1st of next year.
Amen.
But, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that the governor, there's not a governor on the face of the earth that is smarter than God. But yet, somehow, some way, Gavin Newsom thinks he is. Davis, let me just read to you and for our listeners the edict that's just been passed in the state of California that was written up by the health department under the direction of Gavin Uzziah Newsom, the governor. It is a 14-page document that dictates to the churches how they can open, what they can do, how they can worship, and what they must do. What Gavin Uzziah Newsom has decided is that he is smarter than God, that he is going to rewrite the Bible is what he is doing. Listen to this. He is saying that under the dictates of the place of worship and what they need to do, there must be the removal of all Bibles and pamphlets. Gavin Newsom, governor of California. The churches must remove all Bibles and pamphlets. They must discontinue any use of sacred fonts. That is, if you're going to have baptismal fonts, baptismals and vessels that have water in it. Instructions on how to wash religious garments. He's given instructions on how
My
to wash.
My goodness.
The Bible is not sufficient, ladies and gentlemen, anymore. Gavin Newsom has decided that he is better than God, bigger than God, wiser than God. And then given instructions on how ministers must wash and prepare themselves even for a worship service. He also sets up the requirements and the reconfiguration of the podiums and lecterns and sanctuaries and even church parking lots on how they must be arranged and set up in order to have worship. He's giving his edict and direction on collection plates and how they can be used, how they must be stored, and how they must be cleaned, and how to open and to close church doors, instructions on that, how to greet guests and how to greet each other, and whether or not you can embrace or shake hands even, and the elimination of all singing, the elimination of any chanting, and much, much more in that 14-page document, which is an edict, ladies and gentlemen, on how to have church and how to have services. Pastor Davis, I'm saying what I believe is that Gavin Newsom is setting the stage, and other wannabe tyrants across America will try to emulate what he's doing and to enforce that on the church. The question begs to be asked, demands to be answered, ladies and gentlemen. We as Christians, as churches, as pastors, as believers, should we submit to things like that, Pastor Davis?
That's a sad situation, Dr. Youngblood, but for you and I, I would say veterans in the gospel,
yes,
you know, as we are, we already know, you know, what the word of God says we ought to be doing.
Yes.
We were trained in the way, I'm sure, by other individuals that were there before we came. I know I did. I came up under some really good pastors, some really good bishops and deacons, some really good church mothers, and they taught us the way. Now, the Bible lets us know that over in the book of Isaiah, it says, search for and find the old
path.
Landmark.
Yes.
And when you find it, then you walk in it. So that means the way is already set. All we need to do is walk in it. We don't need to change it. We don't need to alter it. All we need to do is carry on with it the same way that the other elders did before we came.
It doesn't even need renovation, does it?
Amen. Amen.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, a quick question. How hard or how difficult will it be for Gavin Newsom to declare you have to have a chip under your skin for identification that you've had a vaccine before you can go in the grocery store?
Good insight. Good insight. In fact, that, may I say, prophetically,
that may be next.
Is next. That is next. Right.
Amen.
Now, they're setting the stage to force everybody to wear a mask. The next thing is everybody to be forced to take the vaccine. And I say to everybody, I say to every human being, we're watching the stage being set. We're watching the dress rehearsal, because immediately after the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist will step on the scene. He will rule with the domination that the world has never known. He is the dictator, Antichrist, leader of the globe. And what we're watching is Bill Gates behind the scene with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They're the ones that will profit most. And they've already said that when the vaccination comes, Bill Gates, smiling as he's interviewed on CNN, Communist Network News, Bill Gates says, of course, we realize when the vaccination is first implemented that perhaps between 750,000 and a million people will die from the vaccination. But then he smiled and he said, but it would be worth it in order to have a vaccination for the world. And he is looking forward to being able to implant the unseen, if you please, mark of the beast that's found in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18, that every human being, and he's using it on the basis that we can track every human being, and if you come in contact with anybody with COVID-19, that they can be quarantined, sequestered, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, sir, we're watching the stage being set. We're watching the future implementation of that. And I say to everyone listening, we need to say no to what is taking place today. However, we understand that God is sovereign, God's on the throne, and God is going to have the final say in all that's being said and done. Thank you for the insight and for your call.
Amen.
Pastor Davis, we've got about 45 seconds. Take that and give words of encouragement and challenge to our listeners. What should the listeners do based on what they've heard us say?
Well, we hope and pray that you have heard something that will be beneficial to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And also in this walk of life. Jesus gave us fair warning in the word in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 20. He said, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they had kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to be encouraged in the word of God, knowing and understanding that trials and tribulations may come our way, but we can be of good cheer because God said that he has overcome the world. Amen.
And
we are out of time, but not out of word.
And
amen.
We know we win in the end because Christ gave the victory on Calvary.
Amen.
Ladies
praise
and gentlemen,
God.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.